We didn't diagnose that back then. We just got spanked, and it worked. But anyways, I'm pretty sure I have that. I always have to have something in my hand. I have to be tapping my foot. I'm working next to somebody. I'm always tapping the console, and they're like, "Larry, please stop. You're distracting us." But anyways, the time is 9:12. The date is May 19th, and it's 82 degrees here at in Phoenix, Arizona. I was trying to think of a segue, but I can't think of one. Dad joke or something, but we'll just get right into it. Take your Bibles this morning and let's stand. Let's go to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter 1, 15, and we'll read 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, 15. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. I pray you'd meet with us. Lord, thank you for those that are here. I pray for the visitors, Lord, that we'd be a blessing to them. And those that are en route, that you would prepare their hearts even now. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if I can do it. I need to do something with my hand, but we'll see how far I can get. When I grew up, obviously, maybe young can relate to this. My mother had a pot of rice all day long. So when she would wake up in the morning, she would do two things. She would make coffee, and she would make rice, okay? And we had rice, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We loved it. We didn't know any different. We loved it. Rice with our eggs, rice with lunch, rice with dinner, okay? Lunch was usually, sometimes we didn't eat lunch because we were just gone all day long. Right, but we would definitely come home for dinner. Dinner would usually have to do with something in a big pot with meat and broth, and then different things in there that she would just throw in there to feed us boys. There was four of us. But whenever we would go to a friend's house, all right, there was no rice. There was zero rice. And it was a culture shock for us. We didn't know what to do. We needed rice, right? But I tell you what we did have, all right? And we ended up loving this item, potatoes. Amen. Right? Now, if you're a red-blooded American, right, you have potatoes pretty much every day. Amen. Whether they're French fried, whether they're mashed, whether they're baked. What are some other ways? Whether they're... There you go. All of those answers, okay? And this one wasn't very popular with us, and actually until I got married. Tater tots. And then I started getting them at Sonic. Amen. Covered with cheese and chili and onions. You gotta have the onions, right? Taters. It's ironic this morning that I looked at the bulletin and I saw the word unity. The last time we did this lesson, and we're going to have some fun with this one, the last time we did this lesson was in the month prior to Pastor coming. Pastor Hardesty, we did a month of messages on unity. So Brian did Sunday night, and I did Wednesday, and this was one of those things as we push to have unity moving forward. As we looked into the transition period, Pastor Hardesty wanted us to be a unit. Well, what does that have to do with taters? I'm going to tell you. All right. Turn your Bibles now to Acts 1. Acts 1. Believe it or not, we'll come back to 1 Peter, but you can lose your spot there. We'll turn back there later on. Acts 1 verse, I won't tell you what verse yet, but go to Acts 1. And just kind of hang out there until... Believe it or not, we're going to have some fun with this one, all right? We're going to look at four types of church members. Each type can be good or bad, and we will discuss both sides, and perhaps you can figure out what kind of member you are, all right? So we are all, this morning, potatoes. Amen. Some of us look like potatoes, all right? the shape, all right? I would like to think I'm a French fry, but I'm probably more tater tot-ish. Some may look like Mr. Potato Head or Mrs. That was one of my favorite toys growing up. Now, I was old enough to be past the Potato Head stage, but my little brothers were not, and they had Mr. Potato Head, okay, and Mrs. They don't want to admit that. But the thing about Potato Head is you could change his mood, even. He had angry eyes. He had happy eyes. He had weird hats. He had bendy arms. You know, you could change his shoes. All right, but it was the same potato, right? Let's look at our first type of potato here. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, this is when Jesus ascended back into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And let's look back at at the beginning of verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? Why stand ye gazing? All right, this is the first type of church member. The first type of tater, spectator. Have you ever been at work or whatever venue this is, and you feel like you're doing it all by yourself? I work for the government. We have all types of people that don't do anything, that just stand around and justify their jobs by pointing and saying certain things. But you look back there and you're like, man, we sure got a whole lot of Chiefs, but not a lot of Braves this morning. They're spectators. Now, that can be good or bad, right? I like going to watch sporting events, right? The definition of spectator is a person who watches an event, an onlooker, a bystander, a beholder. There's one other one here, but I can't read my own writing. One time we sent Laura's mother to a Suns game. She loved the Suns, still does, still follows the Suns. It was a heartbreaking season this year. But anyways, we sent her to a game for her birthday. And she sat pretty close, and guess who they were playing? The Lakers. She went and saw the Suns versus the Lakers. It was a huge game, right? Big names showing up. Well, the two big names for the Lakers. So Kathy was a spectator, right? And you're supposed to go there to watch the team. The biggest names in the game didn't even show up. Not only did they not play, they didn't show up. It was still a fun time for her, right? But these two players didn't show up, so it kind of took away from the event, right? You went to go see these two players play, you went to spectate them, and then they were spectators themselves. All right, well, how does that relate to the church member? Well, I don't know if this stat is still true. I don't think it's true here at Western Hills, but they do say that 10% of the membership do 100% of the work. They also say that 10% of the membership funds the church with their tithes. All right, so we have a lot of spectating in church. We have a lot of folks that like the benefit of being in church and like what they can get out of church, but they invest nothing. They're spectators. All they do is watch. They will be happy watching you do the work. All right, and that can happen at work, that can happen at home, that can happen at school, and it can happen right here in this building. All right. Recently, Laura and I, it was our turn to clean the church, and then right after that, there was an announcement that went out that said, we have got to have more people help out cleaning the church. Now, sitting in the room today, I don't know how many are in the room today, but Miss Melissa and Miss Tiffany had a hard time filling in the cleaning schedule for the rest of the year. So we made an announcement. I believe those positions were filled. Is that right? Good. I'm glad. But again, and June the 2nd, that's when we're going to have our lunch fellowship, right? Man, some of you don't bring stuff. Some of you don't bring food. Man, bring the food. How embarrassing is it as a church when we invite all these people to come eat lunch, right? And there's not enough food. Now, we've usually done pretty well, all right? But I want to tell you for June 2nd, don't be a spectator for the lunch, okay? And then don't come and enjoy a big plate of food when you've spectated and brought nothing, okay? Spectator, we as Christians, we've also lost. We can complain about the country all we want, and there are a lot of complaints. But a lot of that is because Christians have spectated. We have watched them take the country. We've not done anything. We've just been satisfied sitting in the church and complaining about it and done nothing. All right? And praying is enough, but sometimes you ought to pray like everything depends. How does it go? Work as though everything depends on you, but pray as though everything depends on God. God, right? But you got to do your part. I cannot tell you how many Christians in our circle, well, I'm just not going to vote at all. Well, what good does that do? Amen. What does that do? You're just giving it away. You're fine to just spectate and complain about it. All right, when you ought to at least pray, right? And then I'm not saying go out and get political and all this, but we are literally watching the country. But what? It's so disappointing. And then even, I read the article. I don't know how many colleges did not even have commencement services because you had children that have spectated their entire lives, know nothing. They're in a position of zero credibility, but they'll complain about Palestine and Israel. We're losing the country because we are spectating. We're spectating. Back to the church, not talking about those who are unable or can't, but those who won't or and prefer to watch. There is a ministry for all in the church, for all. Okay? There's a ministry for everyone in the church. I know if you're on a walker, if you're in a wheelchair, I'm not talking about those that can't, but I guarantee you he'll find something for you to do. I can guarantee it. All right. James 3. James 3, verse 5. We spent a lot of time in James during that month of unity, right? Do you remember that? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So we looked at the spectator. Let's look at the commentator. Don't you hate people that always have something to say? Always say something when you're kind of already bummed out about something, you know? You'll mention what you're bummed out about, and instead of saying, oh, that's, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. This is what the commentator will say. Well, you should have done this. I don't know why you weren't thinking of this. What did you not see this side of how you could do that? And that doesn't help you at that moment, right? So it's kind of making it worse. You're throwing salt on the wound. The definition of commentator, a person who comments on events, a critic, observer. At work, we have to have quick answers, all right? Your quick answer depends on your knowledge of the rules. Okay, you have to have an intimate knowledge of what you're doing, why, and if a pilot questions you, you have to have a quick answer back, right? But that's not what this is talking about. There's a difference between being witty, all right, between being a witty person and having, not that you're a know-it-all, but you can answer right away, right? You're a good communicator, all right? And having wit, and then being a smart aleck. When we were growing up, I'm not sure there's anything I ever reference without referencing my upbringing. But this was a different time back then, okay? My mother's about this tall. And I've probably been this height since 8th or 9th grade, okay? But if I commentated on anything, if I had a witty comment about anything, all right, it did not matter how short she was. I would feel it somewhere around this area, okay? And she's a little Filipino lady, so if you can picture her grabbing my chin like this and then doing this, that's how she would slap me in the face. She didn't open hand do this or backhand. She took my chin and went, and that hurt, man. That hurt. We didn't commentate about anything unless it was a compliment. Thank you, Mom. Or we liked telling her about our grades because she was really big on grades, so we loved telling her about that. But man, if she made a decision or my father made a decision and we would have a comment otherwise, right? Boy, I really need that other mic. We're gonna stick with this one. I think in the church setting, and I want to be very gentle about this, sometimes your opinion doesn't matter. Sometimes leadership needs to make a decision without your two cents involved. It's easy for me to say that because I'm a vocal person. Okay? I'm a vocal person. When I was growing up, I liked to have the last word. I would pay for it if I well, I don't understand why we have to do this. You're not asked to understand. You're asked to do. Now, this is not, we're not in a venue where we're given orders and all this. We're not in that kind of venue. But we are in a venue where someone makes decisions. Right? And you can have your opinion, but it doesn't matter. Your opinion does not matter. All right? So if pastor makes a decision, if leadership makes a decision, cool. Do you know what that means? That means I don't have to make a decision. Sometimes it's just good to be a good follower. It's easy. I'd like to say I had a successful military career, but I'm going to tell you why. It's kind of easy. They tell you where. They tell you when. They tell you how. They tell you what. And you just do it. Amen. So easy. No questioning, nothing. Also under commentator, because we're looking at both sides. Again, you can be witty. You just can't be smart aleck about it. Troublemaker, incendiary. I can't believe I can read that. Rabble rouser. That's an old one, isn't it? Amen. Rabble rouser. Rabble, rabble, rabble. Rousing rabble. A rebel or an instigator. That's the commentator. This one's a little more serious. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 6. By the way, I'm going in this Tuesday. Pray they're going to look at my eyes. I've been fortunate to have, for most of my life, better than 20/20. But I'm 45 now. And there are times, I don't know if you've noticed this lately especially, I actually can't read the words on the hymn book anymore sometimes. So I'll watermelon through certain parts of the verse that I can't read. I did that in the invitation just last week, actually, and I leaned over to Melissa afterwards. I said, I need glasses. I cannot see. Proverbs 6. Let's look at verse 19. Well, let's go back to 14. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. And verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, if you look a little further up, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. And then if you look back at the bottom of verse 19, the last one that he hates and makes a lot of emphasis on is he that soweth discord among the brethren. We're looking at the agitator. So we've discussed the spectator, we've discussed the commentator, And this one's probably the most detrimental to the church, if we have one, is the agitator. Sowing discord. Well, let's look at the definition of agitator first. A person who urges others to protest or rebel. All right, so not only do you have an opinion, now you're trying to tell other people so that they share your opinion. Okay? And that's the most dangerous kind. Even, this is going to be interesting, even if you are right, even if you are right, okay, you are wrong for then voicing that and then trying to get someone to join you in that thought, right? To sow means to plant seed, right? It means to seed. And we do that here in Arizona, right, with our grass. That's really the only thing we can do here, can seed, right? So at certain seasons, you cut your grass real low, and then you throw your seed out there for the summer, and then you do the same thing for your winter grass, right? That's what sow means. You're sowing seed. Sowing means to deliberately plant seeds. The person who sows discord uses gossip, lies, unfounded accusations, negative criticism, and backbiting to accomplish his goals. The result which sprout from those actions is strife. So not only were you a commentator or you have a comment, now you're trying to get somebody, you're being open about it, and you're trying to get others to agree with your comment. There's nothing wrong with that, except if something comes down and you disagree with that, and we just discussed this, your opinion doesn't matter, right? So we just need to allow God to work, let pastor make the decision. That's what he's here for. All right, he's the man of God, okay? Allow him the leverage to lead. Okay, there's nothing worse than having followers that always, you're afraid to make a decision because you don't want to offend them. We want the leadership to have the freedom to lead. Give them the freedom to lead. I was going somewhere with this. Okay, this is the next point. Never mind. We'll stay where we are. So we've looked at the spectator, the commentator. We're still on the agitator. Pastor doesn't know I'm going to talk about this at all, but I'm going to talk about it. We're taking on Brother Stussy. His first Sunday will be June 2nd. Lunchtime, which everyone's going to bring lunch to, right? Mrs. Stussy is an accomplished pianist. Accomplished. Looking forward to having her here. Looking forward to having Brother Stussy here. That means a lot of movement forward for the church, right? Yeah. Amen. That's what it means for us. But what does it mean for me? What does that mean for me when we get a new pianist and Brother Stussy, who's also very musical? What does that mean for me? I think I've led the music here since 03-ish. Kind of by default, really. And then we took 3 years off because we were stationed in Guam. We came back. I was not the song leader right away. I was fine with that. Our song leader at the time kept getting bloody noses. Do you remember that? Anyways, so one Sunday night, he had a bloody nose, had to come off the platform, and then I started leading the music. By the way, I led in Guam, too. My brothers are all very musical, because we grew up in church. I mean, it's just kind of what we did. We're involved in music from very young age all the way up. In fact, I'm not classically trained in any type of music, none. I just know what it's supposed to sound like. That's it. That's all. I've had no training whatsoever. I've watched a lot of song leaders. I'm a student of watching. Okay, I like to learn, you know, what does he do on this beat? How does his downbeat look? Where does he do this? How does he hold out a note? I love doing that. Well, what does that mean for me? Pastor could very well and is free to make the decision to pull me off the platform. Absolutely free to do that. I tell you how I'm going to react. This is fantastic. I think it's a great decision. Whatever decision he makes is the best decision. I will not be offended whatsoever if that is what it takes to move forward. I cannot stand in the way of progress. I cannot stand in the way of God trying to work. Okay? Pastor is, I don't know if we really fully understand the term man of God. God's man over you. We are so blessed, and we have been over the course of the entire history of the church, we've been blessed to have two great men, two fantastic men leading us. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do, and this is a good example of agitating. If I were to take David aside and just, man, I've led the music here for almost 20 years. I mean, no one knows these people like I do. Nobody, I'm pretty good. Brother Stussy stinks. I could do that. That would be agitating. I've taken David out because now he's questioning Pastor's decision making. Now he's questioned whether or not, does Pastor know what he's doing? Is he making the right move here? And guess what David's going to do then? Then he's going to tell Sarah. Sarah's probably going to talk to Tiffany. Tiffany's going to talk to everybody. I'm just joking, Tiffany. I'm just joking. Again, there would be some credibility, but there would be zero credibility if I were to do that. There would be none. I would lose credibility with David, and then everyone else that spread to, I would have zero credibility. And that would make me an agitator. And every single one of these taters leading down to our last point is detrimental to the church, but the most is an agitator, all right? Is an agitator. To have an opinion and then spread that opinion to get others to join your opinion. That's mutiny. That's what that is. I think I don't know if it's in the Navy. I don't know much about maritime things, but I know that people that started mutinies were usually hung or walked the plank, I don't know. But they usually died. Okay? We're not going to start a mutiny. I love this ministry so much. Joseph, did I get it right? Okay, good Bible name. I mean, I was in his position. I was just a young airman at Luke, and it was this church. I just love this church. And we've seen people come and go, yes, but we've seen growth. We've seen so many great things. Don't agitate that. Don't stop that growth, all right? This ties in with the last point. Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner. Be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. Spectator, commentator, agitator, and this is the one that you want to be. Imitator. Be ye holy. For I am holy. We want to imitate Christ, right? And when you do that, you're not a spectator. Because we can look at the paintings and drawings of Jesus, and he's long hair, and he's just always so kind of girly looking, right? Jesus was a man. He was a carpenter by trade. Okay, have you ever shaken hands with a carpenter? When we got married in 04, May 15th, 04, in that building, we were taking pictures with family and all this and guests before the wedding, right? And of course, my family was ginormous. I mean, a line to take pictures with just me. And I don't know, Laura was somewhere. This was prior to the wedding, all right? So I was stuck out there posing with everybody, my entire family. My dad's family, he's got 9 siblings, and my mother's family, none of her siblings came, but man, we have just family everywhere. I was meeting family for the first time. Anyways, one of my mom's aunts, so her mother's sister, has lived in Indiana forever. Actually, she's passed, but anyways, she married a big white guy, okay? And he was a carpenter. And so we went to shake hands. That was well, you want to give a good firm handshake, right? Amen. But the harder I squeezed his hand, the harder he squeezed mine. You can actually see it in the picture. My hand is starting to bend this way. It's starting to do this. And actually, I started squeezing harder just because it hurt so badly. I was trying to just, and my smile was painful. Like, you could see the pain in my face. I don't know why that came up, but Jesus was a man's man. He was a carpenter, okay? That was a weird rabbit trail. When you strive to be like Jesus, well, what does that mean? What does it actually mean? Because we don't see Jesus, right? He's not walking around with us. So how can you be like Jesus? When we talked about standards a few weeks ago, I made the statement, if you don't have your own, well, borrow some of pastors, borrow someone that you think highly of. That's how you try to be like Jesus. Find somebody to be like, a strong Christian, okay? And then kind of watch their mannerisms. How do they react in this situation? Are they faithful? Are they always here? And you try to emulate them. a lot of my, what I've learned in my career field was just watching. Watching busy traffic. When I was in training, I didn't take breaks. I just wanted to watch, right? That's how you learn. I'm more of a visual learner that way. I'm terrible in the books, but I'm very visual when it comes to learning. Wanted to learn, okay, this is the rule, but how is it applied? I wanted to watch someone that knew what they were doing. When I was, and we're almost done. Our verse says, be holy for I am holy. Be holy, why? Because I am. I, God, I, Jesus, I am. That's why you should be holy. When I was in high school, I've told this story before, I'm going to tell it again, and then we're done. My dad retired in 93 from the Air Force. He was in his mid-ish 40s. I was 14 years old when he retired from the Air Force. Life was good, actually, when I was a freshman in high school, because he was still in the Air Force. He was a master sergeant. So he had a lot of perks, kind of. You know, we lived on base, which was a great upbringing, by the way. They have everything on base, man. I played youth center sports, everything. Loved it. Anyways, so he retired. His plan was to get into the post office because that's where all his brothers work. They're all postal workers, right? Mike and Sherry, postal workers. The problem with that plan means everything moves slowly. That means that you hurry up and wait all the time. Okay? And that includes the hiring process. It includes that. So we went from, and my mother was a nurse. at the time. She worked, we were in Tucson when he was, our last 2 years of him in the Air Force. So I was 12 when we got there, 14 when we left, and I finished my freshman. And everything was awesome. I would have loved to have stayed in Tucson. But he got out in 93. Now, back in the early 80s, he had purchased a house in Washington State because he was stationed there. And so when he was there, he bought a house for like $30,000. It's painful to hear that. And so the plan was for once he retired for us to move back to Washington and then occupy that house. Okay? So we did that. He retired, and we got in our van, and we drove from Tucson, Arizona, all the way to Western Washington, just south of Tacoma in Puyallup. His application was already in. But as Mike and Sherry knows, you don't just put your application in, they call you the next day. My dad ended up waiting for, I want to say close to 2 years before he finally got a call back. And even at that point, it wasn't even the position he wanted. He became a carrier. That's how he got his foot in the door. He had to be a carrier. He hated being a carrier. In the 90s when postal workers were shooting people? So odd, right? Apparently there's a large amount of stress involved with carrying. Is that right, Dale? Because you have to make certain times and all this. And the dogs chasing you, that's a real thing. Okay, it's an actual fear that postal workers have. So we hated it, right? But I say all that to say this. There was a period of time between him retiring and him starting 2 years later. And of course, it wasn't even the position that he wanted. A solid 2 years. Well, during that 2 years, he's got a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a, how old was Donnie? 3-year-old, I think, at the time. My mom, who fortunately was a nurse, that was the bulk of where our income came from. And my dad had to find odd jobs in between. We thought it was cool. He did not. He had to work at the golf course on base just to find anything. Just picking up, that was his job, was to pick up golf balls. For people that he used to supervise, like the year before, had to pick up their golf balls. Anyways, clean the bathrooms. He did everything and anything possible to feed us. Anything and everything. And I remember because I was the oldest, I remember realizing and knowing that we were poor. I remember that because of my age, and I was able to see the difference between, man, life was good here, and now we're over here. But I'll tell you what, Dad never complained. Dad always went to work. He still ran his bus route. He still did junior church. All four of us in that state, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it. Sent all four of us to Christian school. All four. And we had just the happiest upbringing. I never saw him complain. Fast forward 20-something years later, I'm getting out of the Air Force. Applications in. Again, a government position. The wait for me was a year and a half. You remember, those of you that were here. I did some very odd jobs. I worked for a temp agency, right? One of my jobs in that temp agency was to go to the dump in Buckeye and pick up trash at the dump. How much sense does that make? Picked up trash next to a bulldozer pushing trash. I just felt so, this is the most useless job ever. I held a sign for Verizon Wireless on the side of the road, right? Close to her high school. So that was demeaning, right? Kids were shouting at me. They're like, spin it! And of course I did not at all. I just stood there. Sunglasses, hat on. I acknowledge nobody. And then the 18-year-old manager of the Verizon store came out and said, look, you're going to have to spin it or something. Right? And I literally gave him the death stare. I just stared at him and said nothing. I actually have so many stories. We don't have time. Of that time period, if you remember, some of you that were here, between 09 and 2011, when I finally got in. Finally, there were so many stories. Why? I imitated. I saw the formula. My dad did not realize in those moments while he was waiting for a job that he was teaching me, there were lessons all over the place. He didn't even know. He wasn't even doing it on purpose. But we watch. We imitate. Be holy. Why? For I am holy. That's embarrassing. When I we're done. When I was doing the lesson for distractions, the one thing I kept finding was mental health things. Everything was about mental health. If you're distracted, it's because you have a mental health issue. And then, of course, they have a pill for that. Right? We're so worried about mental health. Right? We're so worried about mental health. Think, I'm not downplaying anyone. If you have a mental health issue, that's such a broad term, right? Mental health is a broad term. So I know there are issues that are indeed legitimate, okay? 9 times out of 10, it's because you're just immature. All three of these points have to do with one thing, immaturity. If you're a spectator, commentator, or agitator, you're immature, okay? It's time to grow up and get to this one. Stop worrying about your mental. My parents never addressed mental health growing up. They addressed mental strength. And if you have some of that, you'll find that your mental health issues are probably really just non-existent. You're just crying about something, which makes you depressed. So take a pill, right? You're taking a pill because you're sad. That's weird. Not only that, we were just talking about this yesterday, all the side effects that come with a pill that for when you're sad. I mean, did you know one of the side effects is that you become more sad? And then another side effect is that you actually kill yourself. Be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. And if everyone were to acknowledge what kind of tater they are, okay, and work toward being an imitator, boy, we're really going to move forward here. We'll really move forward here in the spirit of unity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we had in Sunday school. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless. Lord, bless our service to follow now. Bless Pastor as he brings us the word, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.